Okay. Great. Okay, the talk tonight will be very, very different from last night. Last night we had a very practical Bible lesson. Tonight I'm talking a little bit more philosophy. Now, 20 or 30 years ago, probably everybody enjoyed and believed in God. Or nearly everybody. But now atheism is becoming a common idea. If you go to Sweden or Denmark, if you tell them you believe in God, they'll say, "You're kidding." Really? It's not so bad in America. But the Bible says we need to be prepared to give an answer. To anyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have. So I'm going to talk tonight a little bit about why we should believe in God. My outline is very, very simple. In fact, I'll try to keep the lesson a little bit short so we can have as many questions as you want. Point number one is arguments against God. By the way, one time I was personally involved in doing a debate on the existence of God. And I totally lost the debate.
You were with God or against God?
Well, you translate. I talk, you translate. He gave away the secret. Because I took the position that God does not exist. My opponent was a senior in high school. But he graduated number one in his class. And I went first in the debate. It was at teen camp. And after I talked, the teens were like, because I did a good job. So anyway, that's what I'll do first. And then I will say why atheism does not work. And then I'll talk about arguments for theism, which is for God. In this talk, we'll have a few big words. Don't you hate it when people use big words that you don't know what they mean? They do this just so you'll think they're smart. So if I use a big word, I'll try to explain it, okay? There's deism.
Deism.
Yeah. And theism.
Same thing?
No.
Deism.
Deism.
Yeah, just say deism, you know. Just
deism, what does that mean?
I'll explain.
Okay.
Deism and theism.
Theism.
Yes.
Deism and theism.
Deism is a belief in God. Who created the universe. And then just left it alone. Albert Einstein was a deist. Now, we are theists. We believe in a God who created the universe and who is active in the universe. So, arguments for theism. Okay? Now, first, arguments against God. Four arguments. Number one, you can't see him. Number two, believers are so bad. Number three, the problem of suffering. Number four, atheism is the default position. I'll explain that. What this means is, unless you can prove that God exists, that means he doesn't exist. That's called default position. All right? Alright, point number one. You can't see him. Who here has seen God? So how could you believe in something you can't see? Why should I believe in something that you can't even see? You're crazy to believe in that. There's no evidence that he exists. If you can't measure him, what does he look like? What does he smell like? What color is he? Okay, I don't believe in him. That's the argument. Now, this is not a very good argument, in my opinion. There's a famous story. The first Russian astronaut or cosmonaut. His name is Yuri Gagarin. If you're old like me, you remember Yuri Gagarin. He said, I went up to heaven, and he wasn't there. God doesn't exist. Now, there's a few problems with this argument. You know, a lot of people say, I don't believe in God. And you say, tell me about this God that you don't believe in.
Tell me about this God.
Yeah, tell me about the God you don't believe in. I don't believe in an old man in the sky. Oh, I don't believe in that either. I don't believe in this angry God who's just trying to, Oh, I don't believe in that God either. The God I believe in is an unseen God. The creator of the universe. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the things that are visible were created by an invisible God. That's the God I believe in. Can you see the wind? So why do you believe in it? You see the effect of the wind. Has anybody here seen an electron? Do you believe in an electron? Why do we believe in electrons? Because we see the effect of an electron. I believe in God. Why do we believe in the wind? Because the property of the wind is to bend the tree. In other words, we see the effect. and we believe in the cause. Here's the effect. All right, the universe exists. So I believe in God. This is a totally bogus argument. Because the atheist believes in many things that they cannot see. A completely bogus argument. Argument number two. Nobody could believe in God. Look at all the terrible things that believers have done. All the hypocrites. I've heard that argument many, many times. This is a terrible argument. It's completely illogical. Now, have evil things been done in the name of Christianity? Of course it has. How could that make God not real? I hear this argument many times. And besides, if you say that evil has been done in the name of Christianity, that means you believe in evil. But what is evil? If there is no God, there is no evil. Because God, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about the moral argument. This is not even an argument. Now, it is true that people have done evil in the name of Christ. I once went to a debate where that was one of the main arguments of the atheist. But the thing about Christianity is, when people do evil things, they're going against what is taught by their own religion. Okay, argument number three against God. Now, were you here on Tuesday night? Okay, so you've already heard this argument. If not, go to my website and listen to the tape from last time. But remember how I trapped you? I say, do you believe in an all-powerful God? Who could do anything he wants? You all said, yes. Do you believe that God is a loving God? So loving that love is defined by God. Then I say, that God is not real. Otherwise, there would be no cancer. And there would be no massacres. And no rape. Because if God is real, then he would stop those things. So either he doesn't care, or he's powerless. Now, I'm giving you four arguments against God. Of those four, three are ridiculous. The only one that has even any logic to it at all is this one. But we talked about that. The reason they're suffering is because of evil, because of rebellion against God. It's not because God is weak or not loving. Not at all. God is so loving and so powerful that he created us. And he gave us the ability to choose whether he would do right or wrong. How powerful a God would it take? Would it need to create beings who can think for themselves and have a choice? That's what love does. So although this is the only argument I've ever seen that has really any logic to it at all, if we understand the God of the Bible, this argument evaporates. Now, I actually have put on two debates on the existence of God.
Debate. Yeah.
The first one involved a man named Michael Shermer. Yeah. He's the head of the American Skeptic Society. And this was his argument. Unless you could prove that God exists, then by definition he doesn't exist. That was his only argument. But that's not even an argument. According to who is that the default position? Literally, that's not even an argument. I say, either you're a good person or a bad person. You know, unless you can prove one, then it has to be the other. This is not even an argument. Besides, more than 90% of all intelligent people who ever lived,
بالإضافة إنه تسعين أكثر من 90% من الأذكياء والناس اللي عباقرة اللي عاشوا على وجه الأرض
all believed in God.
كلهم كانوا يؤمنوا بالله.
So they're all a bunch of stupid people who have no idea what's going on.
ما أظنش كانوا هدول مجانين مش عارفين شو عم بصير حواليهم.
This is a bad argument.
هاي برضو جدل سخيف.
Now let me talk about my next point.
هلا النقطة الثانية.
Why atheism is a complete failure. This is a very bad philosophy. I don't know why anybody clings on to this horrible philosophy. Point number one, it's based on circular reasoning. Circular reasoning. I'll explain that. You say 1 + 1 = 3. Therefore, 1 + 1 = 3. In other words, you assume the answer, and then you use that to prove the thing that you believe. I hear atheists using circular reasoning all the time. I remember one time a few years ago, I was watching a show on BBC, you know BBC? And it was like a panel discussion. And the atheist guy, he was so confident. Those believers. He thought he would totally defeat them. He thought his arguments were so strong. He makes his opening statement. He said, the only things that are real are things that can be measured. Everything else is not real. And then the panelists asked him, well, how do you know that? He says, all these religious people, they're so foolish and they do so many terrible things.
مسيحيين كثير مجانين وعملوا أشياء شريرة كثير.
He said, excuse me, we asked you a question. How do you know that the only things that are real are things that can be measured? Oh, you know, the Muslim fundamentalists and those Catholics and all those other people. And they said, excuse me, we asked the questions, you answer the questions. You made a statement. The only things that are real are things that can be measured. How do you know that? He said, I guess I just believe it. That was his argument. In other words, the reason I believe it is because I believe it. He was so confident. But he never thought about it. He literally had absolutely no reason to believe in what he believed in. That is the basis for atheism. I hear people say, atheists saying such foolish things. Not that they are foolish.
Yeah.
They're very nice people.
Yeah, and الملحدين كتير طيبين, شعب طيب. بس بيقولوا أشياء غبية.
But the things they say are foolish.
الأشياء اللي بيقولوها غبية.
Right? Calling somebody foolish.
إنك تحكي عن واحد غبي.
That's bad. But calling the thing they say foolish, that's okay.
الأشياء اللي إنه هم اللي بيحكوها غبية.
For example. Atheists will say, science proves there are no miracles. That statement is complete nonsense. Because by definition, science explains natural things. So the only things that science can explain are natural things. So how can something that only studies natural things decide if anything is supernatural? Circular reasoning. I'm telling you, the foundation that atheists have their belief on, it's like a cloud or something like that. Second reason. Because atheism can't answer any questions that we care about. I teach a course on the philosophy of science. I tell my students, science is excellent at answering a few questions. When did that happen? Science, great. What is that thing? Well, what is it made of? Science does a great job on that one. Where is that? How does that work? Why did this thing happen? Science is great at those things. Do you care about those questions? Does anything you really care about fall on that list? Nobody cares about any of those things. Now let me look at another list of questions. Why am I here? Atheism says, no reason. Is that the right thing to do? Atheism, useless. How valuable am I? Atheism says, 5 dinars. A little carbon. a little carbon, a little silicon, a little potassium. Now, these are the questions you care about. Atheism says these are meaningless questions. The only questions people care about, atheism can't answer those questions. And so, what kind of philosophy is that? Again, atheism falls apart. Atheism fails utterly. If atheism is right, then I don't exist. Seriously, if atheism is true, then I, you know, this person, am not real. Just bag of chemicals. If atheism is real, then love has no meaning. You shouldn't say to your spouse, I love you. You should say, I chemical you. Yeah. If atheism is real, then justice has literally no meaning. This is a good philosophy? If atheism is real, then life has no value. If atheism is real, then there's no moral truth. Then there's nothing wrong with murder. In fact, is there purpose in atheism? Yeah, my purpose is to make as many copies of my DNA as possible. Imagine if that was your purpose. Imagine what you could justify if that is your purpose. Atheism falls apart. Besides, atheism has been tried as a philosophy. Very rarely, in all the history of human beings, very few societies have tried atheism as a philosophy. But a few have, like Soviet Russia. That went great. And China. That went really well, right? And North Korea, communist philosophy. Awesome. So when atheism has been tried, it works very well, very terribly. Imagine a philosophy that says there's nothing that's evil and there's nothing that's good. Atheism is a terrible philosophy. All right, now I want to talk about arguments, yes, that God exists, okay? This is more the fun part of our discussion today. There's a whole list. Now, I'm sorry, but we're going to use some big words, okay? But don't worry, we're going to define those words. All right, so I'm going to say these things, and Simon's not even going to translate them, okay? The moral argument, the cosmological argument, the teleological argument, the ontological argument, all those things. Next slide. By the way, you cannot prove that God exists. You can't. You can't see him. I believe God left room for doubt on purpose. God doesn't drop a note out of the sky and land at your feet. God does not force us to believe. God gives us a choice. But like it says in Romans chapter 1 verse 20, his existence is obvious. But you can't solve a big equation. Say that proves that God exists. Here's how it works. Here's the information. Okay? And then what's the most reasonable conclusion? I cannot prove that, I don't know, George Washington is real. How could I prove it? But probably all of you believe that George Washington was a real person. In fact, if you believe that George Washington never existed, you're probably kind of crazy. The evidence is so strong. But you can't prove it. That's the way it is with God. Okay, you understand? So we're not going to prove that God exists. We'll present logical arguments. And you decide. Now the atheist already presented their case. You can't see him. What kind of argument is that? Believers do bad things. That's not even an argument. The existence of pain and suffering, which is better explained by belief in God than not believing in God. So how about the arguments for God? The first one is called the moral argument. So we have a premise. Is there such a thing as right and wrong? Are there absolute moral truths? Is it wrong to rape a woman? Is that wrong? Yes, are you sure? Is it absolutely wrong to commit rape? Yes? Well then, God has to exist. That's the argument. Because if there is absolute moral truth, where does that truth come from? It has to come from something. Because this is not a physical thing. You can't measure it. It exists whether there's people or not. So if there is moral truth, in other words, if it's true that it's wrong to murder, it's wrong to lie, it's wrong to steal, then God has to exist. Because the atheist believes there's no right or wrong. Now, they don't really believe that. For example, if you try to force them to believe, they'll say, that's a wrong thing to do. Oh, I guess you believe then. Right? That's a joke, but, you know, all right. You get the joke. Okay, good. That joke didn't work, but... So here's the argument.
هذا النقاش الأول.
If there is right and wrong,
إذا في صح وغلط,
if morality exists,
إذا الأخلاقيات موجودة,
then there has to be a God.
معناته لازم يكون في الله لأنه مين اللي حط هالأخلاقيات إذا.
This is a completely convincing argument to me.
عن جد مقنعة جدا.
I don't care what anybody says. To take a baby and smash it against a rock and destroy it, that is an evil thing. Hitler was an evil man who did evil things. Therefore, God exists. So that's the first argument. The second one, it's called the cosmological argument. Now, you don't need that big word.
This is clear one.
You don't need that big word. All you need is the argument. The argument goes something like this. Everything that exists has a cause. So you were caused. That clock was caused. Everything that exists has a cause. Number two. The universe exists. Therefore, the universe was caused. So, what is the cause of the universe? The answer is God. Now, most of you will not be believing God because of this argument. But if you talk to an atheist, this might help. Probably this is not why you believe in God. Honestly. But this is a strong argument. Now there's a second version of this argument. Slightly different. Everything which begins to exist has a cause. Now, this is philosophy, so don't really worry about that. The number two. Does the number two exist? Philosophers argue about that, but most of us, we don't care about that kind of thing, you know. How about the number pi? You know, pi, you know, pi?
Yeah.
The number pi. Does that exist? But it was not created. You see what I'm saying? Yes? If this doesn't matter to you, then ignore what I just said. Okay? Everything that begins to exist has a cause. So, for example, the number two did not begin to exist. But that's not what we're talking about, okay? Okay. Everything that begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist. We know the universe is not eternal. Scientists know that for a fact. Therefore, the universe was caused. And God is that cause. All right, let's put away all the fancy talk here. How can the atheist explain that the universe exists? Okay, but that means it was caused. Because what caused the Big Bang to bang, you know? So if you ask a scientist, why is there gravity? And they'll say gravity waves or something like that. Gravity waves. All right, well, why are there gravity waves? They'll say, I don't know, maybe string theory or something like that. At some point, when you say, why? Not my area to answer. Because the fact that things exist cannot be explained. That's the cosmological argument. Now, I have a long list of arguments. But I'm only going to cover one more. Again, it's another big long word. But you can get rid of the word. You don't need the word. But if you want to sound smart, you should learn the word, all right? Most atheists think they're really, really smart. So if you know the name for the argument, you know it's better to win the argument, okay? It's called the teleological argument. It comes from the Greek word, teleos, which means a purpose. Does this thing have a purpose? Yes, it has a purpose. So this thing is teleological. It has a purpose. It has a design. Do you think this thing just happened by random? If you think this thing is random, you're insane.
إذا بتفكر هذا تكون لحاله
okay.
أنت مريض نفسيا.
So you don't need the big long word.
عشان هيك مش محتاج للكلمات الصعبة.
The teleological argument is this.
هذه هي النظرية هاي بتحكي عليها.
The universe is designed.
الكون تم تصميمه من قبل حدا.
The universe has purpose to it.
الكون له هدف.
Therefore, it has a designer. Alright, and if there is a designer, then there's something that exists outside of the universe. That designer is God. And there's so much obvious design in the universe. So this has been called the watchmaker argument. But I'm going to make it the pointer maker argument. So, let's that thing right there. Maybe what happened is there was some plastic and some metal. And somebody stepped on it. There was an earthquake. I would say there's much more design in the universe than there is in this thing. There are people that believe this is just an accident.
في ناس بتآمن إنه وجود هاي هو بالصدفة.
Those people are crazy.
هدول الناس المجانين مش اللي بيآمنوا بالله المجانين.
They're called atheists.
هدول يسموا ملحدين.
Which has more design?
مين عنده تصميم أكتر؟
The simplest living thing?
الأشياء الحية الصغيرة.
Or this one?
أو هاي.
Which has more moving parts?
مين اللي عنده أشياء أكتر؟
Which has more complexity?
مين المعقد أكتر الأصعب؟
The simplest bacteria or this thing?
البكتيريا الصغيرة ولا هاي؟
Oh, the simplest bacteria has much more design in it.
أكيد كل شيء مصمم في الحياة حتى البكتيريا الصغيرة اللي ما بنشوفها.
But the atheist believes it just happened.
لكن الملحد بيؤمن إنه كل شيء صار فجأة ما بيعرف ليش ولا.
The molecules just bumped into each other. Living thing. Let me tell you something. It takes a lot of faith to be an atheist.
يتطلب إيمان رهيب أن تكون ملحد.
I don't know how they sustain this belief.
منين يجيبوا هالإيمان إنهم يلحدوا؟
They're crazy.
مجانين.
It's much harder to believe in atheism than to believe in God.
صعب كثير إنك تؤمن بالإلحاد من إنك تؤمن بالله.
Given the evidence for design.
خصوصا إنه عندنا إثباتات على تصميم الكون وعظمته وعجائبه.
How am I doing? Yeah. So let me give a couple of examples.
خليني أعطيكم مثال.
Water.
ماء مثلا.
Right? H-O-H. Water.
الماء نعرف إنه H2O. أستاذ كيمياء.
Yeah. I can teach an entire one semester course.
بقدر أعلمكم فصل كامل.
Just to explain all the properties that water has.
اللي بس أحكي عن خصائص الماء.
And why it has those properties.
وليش عنده هاي الخصائص.
And every single one of those properties,
كل واحدة من هاي الخصائص,
if water didn't have that property,
إذا المي ما عنده هاي الخصية,
there'd be no life.
مش رح يكون في حياة.
Water is a fantastic design.
الماء بس هو تصميم رهيب رائع.
For example, water is not straight. It's bent at an angle.
مثلا الماء مش دغري ملوي زي ما انتم شايفين بزاوية.
Lucky for us. Because if it was a straight line, then water would boil at about minus 150 degrees centigrade. And that would be a problem because then there'd be no life. Now, in order for life to exist, there has to be a liquid
لازم يكون في سائل
that can dissolve a wide range of materials.
اللي رح يدوب مجموعة كبيرة من المواد.
So you have to have a liquid at the right temperature.
لازم يكون في عندك سائل بدرجة معينة.
Water's liquid at the perfect temperature. And it has to dissolve a wide range of materials.
ولازم يحلل أو يدوب كتير أشياء كتير مواد.
Guess what molecule dissolves a wider range of materials than any other?
احذروا اي جزيء
It dissolves a wider range of materials.
يدوب كثير مجموعه كبيره من المواد.
Water.
الماء.
In fact, in order for life to exist,
عشان الحياه تكون موجوده,
the solvent has to dissolve ions like sodium or potassium or chloride. How many liquids at the right temperature dissolve ions? Only one liquid dissolves ions. The same liquid at the right temperature is the only one that dissolves ions. Another fact about water. Water absorbs more heat than any other substance. It absorbs 10 times more heat than almost every substance. More than twice as much heat as any other substance. Lucky for us, otherwise in 1 year the temperature would change by 200 degrees or 300 degrees.
وإلا كان بسنة واحدة الحرارة تتغير 220 ولا
200 درجة. Or more like 300 degrees. Yeah. Well, obviously there'd be no life.
عشان ما بيكونش في حياة.
Okay, another property of water.
برضو خاصية ثالثة للماء.
Now with water.
بالماء.
The solid floats. And the liquid sinks. Guess how many compounds have that property? Only one compound. Water. Lucky for us. Because in the winter, the colder ice floats on the warmer water. Otherwise, the lake freezes to the bottom.
Okay, بس شوفوا البحيرة بس بتجمد من فوق ما بتجمد من تحت.
And during an ice age,
في عصور الثلجية,
the ocean freezes to the bottom.
كل المحيط بفرز.
And all life disappears.
معناته الحياة لو كل شيء فرز في الحياة كان الحياة تختفي.
Now there are several other properties that water has that no other compound has.
في كمان خصائص أخرى للماء ولا شيء تاني عنده إياها.
All of them required for life.
كلهم مطلوبين للحياة لوجود الحياة.
But I'm going to go to the next slide.
ولكن بدي أروح للشيء الأخير.
Now some of you will start having breaking out and you know sweating and stuff like that. Yeah. Now in my chemistry class, I tell students that this was invented by Mendeleev. A Russian guy, his name is Mendeleev. But actually, that's not true. Guess who invented this chart? I say God invented this chart. His fingerprint is everywhere you look. There are at least 20 elements that have a property that no other element has that property. And if that element didn't have that property, there'd be no life. Why are there so many elements? Can an atheist explain why there are so many elements? They have no explanation. But for a believer, it makes perfect sense. Because the universe is designed amazing. All right, one example, carbon. Carbon. I teach organic chemistry. Yes? The first week of class, I spend the whole week explaining all the properties of carbon. That no other element has. And every one of those properties, if carbon didn't have that property, there'd be no life. So to me, it's kind of obvious. Just quickly, carbon forms four bonds. Okay? Four bonds, four connections, yes? Obviously not a chemistry major, yes? No, no. It's okay. Why is that important? Because unless you have four bonds, the molecule is not three dimensions. You know three dimensions? And if the molecule is not three-dimensional, then the life is not three-dimensional. Well, that's essential. Another property of carbon is the only element that forms large molecules. Now, lucky for us, the only molecule that, the only element that forms large molecules is also the only element that has four bonds. Lucky for us. Okay, iron. 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 Iron? Yeah, okay. Iron has a property that no other element has. It's the only element that forms a strong magnetic field. Why is that important? So you can put the stuff on your refrigerator. No, just kidding. It turns out The design of the sun, the design of the sun is amazing. The whole, the fusion that goes on the sun is, it's amazing. Lucky for us. Otherwise, there wouldn't be energy on the earth. Over 90% of the energy from the sun is visible light. Luckily, because the other kinds of energy are very destructive. One kind of energy that comes from the sun is ionized particles. Solar wind, they call it. Solar wind. Solar wind. Ionized particles. Should just say wind from the sun. Now, this radiation would destroy all life on the earth. But the magnetic field of the earth, it's like a force field. It's like a force field. That's an amazing design. But there's another fact about iron. Of all the elements, iron has the most stable nucleus. Lucky for us, because guess what the earth is made out of mostly? It's made out of mostly iron. Now that's an amazing coincidence. The only magnetic element is also the most common element. Otherwise, no life. I could talk about other examples, uranium, oxygen, many other elements. I'll skip that. Two more examples of design, and then we'll have our questions. You've probably heard of DNA, yes? The design here is it's unbelievable. It's enough, it makes my hair stand up. It's so amazing. It's a beautiful design. If you take biochemistry, any biochemistry students? Alright. These letters, they represent the different molecules. And those molecules form a code. Now let me ask you a simple question. Could molecules randomly bumping into each other create a code? The person who believes that is crazy. That's called atheist. They actually believe that. They actually believe that. But this is so much information. 4 billion of these in a human. 4 billion. Bacteria, more like 100 million. The simplest conceivable life. Maybe 25 million. That's a lot of information. It'd be like this. I take 25 million letters, I throw them in the air, and then when they land on the ground, you could read them. And it would make sense. Could that ever happen? That's impossible. But that's what the atheists believe. They have the right to believe that. Now, the thing that DNA does is it makes protein. Now, the only thing in the universe that makes protein is DNA. But the only thing in the universe that makes DNA is protein. So to the atheist, I have this question. Which came first? The protein or the DNA? You know the chicken and the egg, you know that chicken and the egg? That's easy. And the atheist has literally no answer. I read their books. Trust me, they have no answer. Basically, they just say, well, it must have happened. You know what you call that? That's circular reasoning. Here's why they believe that happened. Because they believed it happened. And that's the only reason they believe it happened. Because it violates the laws of physics. Like I said, just one more example. Alright, now would you agree that's a small number? Do they have like a lottery here? You know, a lottery?
Yeah.
They have a lottery? Alright. Let's say your friend won the big lottery. What would you say about that? You say, great. Wait a minute, you're a Christian. Why are you playing the lottery? Oh, anyway, I thought that was funny. Apparently that's not funny. I thought that was funny. You do it all the time, right? All right, you don't have a lottery. All right, let's just say that you do. Let's say you win the big lottery. And then the next week, you win the big lottery again. And then the next week, you win the big lottery again. And the next week, you win the big lottery again. You would be in jail, right? Because that's impossible. Exactly. Because when scientists began to investigate the universe, you heard about that Big Bang thing, right? Which proves the universe was created. So here's what they discovered. The universe is expanding, right? And yet it formed galaxies and stars, okay? Because of gravity. Here's what they found. If gravity was this much bigger, the universe would have collapsed almost as soon as it formed. But if gravity was this much smaller, then galaxies and stars never would have formed. So let's just say the universe is random. What's the probability that gravity would have the right size? It's right there. Would you take that as a bet? 69 zeros and then a 1. 69 zeros and then a 1. But it turns out that's not the only example. Don't try to read that. Almost every fact about the universe is like this. For example, the force that holds the nucleus together. You know the protons and the neutrons? A little bit bigger, and there'd be no hydrogen. And then no stars. A tiny bit smaller, there'd be only hydrogen. And again, we wouldn't be here. The list of examples is Many examples. At some point, to believe this is an accident it's insane. That's the teleological argument. All right, so now there's these other arguments, but it's boring. It's enough. I skip all these arguments, okay? Oh, one more argument. The inspiration of the Bible. What about the evidence for the inspiration of the Bible? There's a lot of evidence for the inspiration of the Bible. The Bible is inspired by God. So therefore, there's a God. But I don't have time for that. We'll take questions. Good. Any topic?
Okay, the idea of everything is planned from the day you're born. Is
that I didn't say that, no.
Is
this true? And if it's not true, then we don't have to pray.
Right. Exactly. So the question is this, is it true that everything is planned? Well, according to Islam, the answer is yes. And according to one branch of Christianity, Calvinism, that teaches predestination. Again, yes, everything is planned. But according to the Bible, no, not everything is planned. That's why Jesus prayed. Jesus said, let us pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So apparently God's will is done in heaven, but apparently God's will is not always done on the earth, because that's what Jesus prayed. And Jesus is the Son of God, so I believe him. So, no, God gave us choice. Now, let me finish.
Okay.
God knows what's going to happen. That's called foreknowledge. Because God exists outside of time. For us, past, present, future. But God is all-knowing. Now, this will give you a headache if you think about it. Because God knows what's going to happen, but he doesn't determine what will happen. As a human being, that's hard to grasp. It's hard to accept. But it's true. Okay?
I just want to say, most Arabs do believe that everything is planned.
I know.
That's because
the Quran teaches that. But it's not true. Because if that's true, that means God is the author of evil. But my God is not the author of evil. The God of Islam is the author of evil. They say that makes God greater. But it's not true. The God I believe in is a God of love. Okay, next.
So what is your reply towards two things? The Big Bang
جوابك لشغلتين. نظرية
the big bang, sorry, the black hole.
نظرية الحفرة السوداء.
And heaven. What is heaven?
Okay. So the first question was, what is a black hole?
ما هي الحفرة السوداء? Black hole.
That's physics.
هذا فيزياء.
That's just a that's like asking what is, I don't know, a tree or something like that. It's just physics. Yeah, certainly black holes exist. There's plenty of evidence for that. You can see through a telescope. For example, there's some items they can see through the Hubble telescope. Where there's a star going in a very tight circle.
And
stuff is coming out of the star into the middle. But you can't see anything in the middle. So this is evidence that black holes exist. That has no relevance to Christianity at all. The Bible certainly doesn't talk about black holes. It doesn't talk about electrons. It doesn't talk about bacteria. There's a lot of things the Bible doesn't talk about. It doesn't talk about dinosaurs either. It only talks about things that the people back then could understand. And what about heaven? Heaven is real. You know why I believe in it? There's only one reason I believe in heaven. Only one. It's because it says so in the Bible. Jesus believed in it. Jesus who walked on water, who lived a perfect life, who raised Lazarus from the dead, who was raised from the dead, he believed it. Good enough for me. So my belief in heaven is based on belief that the Bible is inspired. Now, one thing that gets some Christians in trouble, we need to separate the things we believe because of the evidence from the things we believe because of faith. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead because of the evidence. I believe the Bible is inspired by God because of the evidence. I believe in heaven because the Bible says so. I believe in Adam and Eve because the Bible says so. And I think it's important as we mature in Christ that we know the difference. Otherwise, we get in trouble when we have discussions. Atheists? No, of course not. What they think when you're dead, you're just plain dead. It's a very depressing philosophy, is it not? But they would say that we just have wishful thinking. They would say that they're right, and we only believe in afterlife because it makes us feel good. But they're wrong. All right, next. Okay, let me ask you a question. I'll ask this for everybody here. Two choices. You have a body, or you are a body. Which is it? I have a body, or
عندي جسد ولا أنا؟
I am a body.
أنا جسد.
Two choices. Okay, got it?
اختيارين لازم تختار.
Think about it. Okay? Number one. I have a body.
أول واحدة أنا عندي جسد.
Or I am a body.
ولا أنا جسد.
Everybody knows that we have a body.
الكل بيعرف إنه أنا عندي جسد.
Therefore, a soul exists.
لذلك الروح ولا النفس موجود.
A simple argument. You know, even atheists betray themselves on this. The atheist says, I like you. You should say, what do you mean you like me? Who are you? Oh, you're just chemicals. And, you know, little connections in the brain. And electrical signals. So when you say, you like me, what do you mean by that? See, secretly, the atheist believes in a soul. Their language betrays that fact. All right, next.
I want to ask a question. I believe that God knows everything. I believe that God
knows everything.
At the beginning, God created Adam and Eve.
Allah خلق Adam and Hawa.
But he started to notice that in heaven, he loved him, loved them, but they didn't love him back, right?
Okay, هو أحبهم ولكن هم لم يحبوه.
So is it that God did all this story, so at the last we all loved him back?
Yeah.
So because we have now emotions for him in the heaven at the last. Did you get my question?
Yes. I talked about this on Tuesday night, actually. Were you here on Tuesday?
Yeah, I
did. Oh, okay. Now, I will give you the Christian answer to that question. Okay. Remember, one of the questions tonight was, why do we exist? The atheist says, an accident. No purpose, no meaning. According to the Bible, why do we exist? Because God wanted to love us. And He wanted us to love Him. And He wanted us to love one another. Can you make somebody love you? It is literally impossible to force somebody to love you. So God gave us a choice. Like I said on Tuesday, there were two trees in the garden. The one, it's symbolical. Maybe there were two trees, maybe there weren't, but the meaning is symbolical. One tree sustained life. The other tree was knowledge of good and evil. This is knowledge that God did not want us to have because it was harmful to us. So He said, don't take from that tree. So why would God put that tree there? Because He loves us. Love gives a choice. And it had to be a real choice. Like I said on Tuesday, it's not a choice if I give you $1 million or I punch you in the face. The other choice seemed like a good choice. So that's the Christian explanation. And like I said on Tuesday, no other religion can explain it better than Christianity. No. So we need some women to ask. Well, we had one woman. All right, go ahead. But we need some women also. Go ahead.
أنا عندي سؤال. كثير مرات بسمع إنه الحال بيحكي إنه الديانة المسيحية أو الديانات بشكل عام هي ديانات مسروقة من حضارات قديمة.
We hear a lot that Christianity is stolen from the old religions.
Yeah.
Civilizations. تأثرت بالديانات اللي كانت موجودة أصلاً بمنطقة الهلال الخصبة أو بالمنطقة اللي إحنا عايشين فيها زي العراق. وما بنشوف أنبياء طلعوا من أوروبا أو أنبياء طلعوا من إفريقيا.
We don't see prophets from Europe and some other places.
وكل الأنبياء كانوا بمنطقة.
They were here in the Middle East.
شو السبب يعني؟ هل الله بس هاي المنطقة ولا إيش؟
So the question is, what's the question?
Is Christianity influenced by the old religions? Yeah. And second one, why all the prophets from here, from this land?
Okay, that's two very different questions. Certainly, scholars of religion claim. That Judaism was borrowing from the religion in Persia, Zoroastrianism, or other religions. Here's what they're missing. Evidence. There is no evidence for this. There's no evidence that Judaism is taken from Zoroastrianism. So, unless they can present some evidence to support this, I believe this is the result of circular reasoning. They say, obviously, this religion evolved. Therefore, it evolved. But there's no evidence for this. Are there any beliefs in Christianity or, say, Judaism that are also found in Zoroastrianism? Yeah, kind of, sort of, a little bit. But Zoroastrianism is called dualism. It's like a 50-50 battle between good and evil. But that's not consistent. It's not consistent with physics, for example. Because then, what created what? This cosmology makes no sense. So, that's what they say. That theory is missing one important element, which is evidence. And a theory without evidence, that's not much of a theory. But people will say that. But the evidence to me is that the religion we believe in came directly from God. You know why I believe it? Because it's true. All other religions aren't true. So how could a true religion be evolved from a false religion? This really doesn't make sense to me personally. Now, why are all the prophets from here? Who is the most important human being in the entire Bible outside of Jesus? The answer is Abraham. God had a plan.
Allah عنده خطة.
And that plan was to choose a man of faith. And through that man of faith, to create a people. And a nation. And to give them a place. And a covenant. And to send to them prophets to prepare the way. All of it was pointing towards one event. The coming of the Messiah. Now, could God have sent prophets to South America? Mormons say yes. God could do whatever He wants. It's not my job to tell God what to do. But that was God's plan. And His prophets were sent to His people. Did he ever send a prophet to another people? I think maybe so. Maybe Melchizedek. He was not Jewish. Maybe, I don't know, Job. Job was not Jewish. But all the prophets that relate to God's plan, it all focuses in on the promised land. That was God's plan.
Does God have a physical presence?
I didn't get it. I'm talking English or Arabic?
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 Yeah, the question is, does God have a physical... Is there anything physical about God? Here's what the Bible says. Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe, which is seen, was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made from things that are not seen. So, no, God is not physical in any way whatsoever. God is not male or female. Right? God does not have sexual organs or fingers or hands. Now, the Bible uses metaphors. You know, the hand of God. But these are just metaphors. That's the easiest question I ever got. Easy question. All right.
I have another kid who always asks me, who created God?
What a great question. Who created God? See, everything that exists was created, right? That's the cosmological argument. Everything that begins to exist was caused. So what is God? God is, this is going to be hard to translate probably, is God is the uncaused cause.
Allah هو السبب الغير مسبب.
Now, that will also give you a headache. Think about that.
But he was outside time, so it doesn't need a cause.
But Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. Moses said to God, Moses asked God, who should I send, say sent me? God said, I am. God has a number of properties. Power. Justice. Holiness. Love. Existence. God is the self-existent one.
Allah هو
Otherwise, you can't explain that anything exists at all. So who created God? That question makes no sense. Because the word created means past, present, future. Now, let me tell you something about the Big Bang. You heard about the Big Bang? According to the Big Bang model, before that happened, there was nothing. Even time did not exist. Which is completely consistent with this idea about God. Okay?
وطول حياته خلاص ما آمن بالله someone who was born as an atheist and he lived all his life as an atheist, but he was good, he did good deeds, he did some good, he never hurt anyone. How will God look at him? Will he go to heaven?
I have never met anybody who never hurt anybody. Have you ever met anybody who never hurt anybody? So I believe if the atheist never hurt anybody, they'd probably go to heaven. In James chapter 3, it says, if anybody can control their tongue perfectly, that person would be perfect. Has anybody here controlled your tongue perfectly? Did the atheist control their tongue perfectly? But if they did control their tongue perfectly, I'm sure they'd go to heaven. Now, all right, next, let me continue.
But if we are as Christians, we sin. But is it the same thing for atheists? Does God look to us as the one who looks at them?
Yeah, there are two kinds of people. Those who have been forgiven and those who have not been forgiven. The Bible says the wages, the pay for sin is death. Now maybe you say, I don't like that. That has nothing to do with it. That's the nature of God. Your good deeds do not cancel your bad deeds. Now in the Quran it's very specific. It says bad deeds are canceled by giving alms. But that's not the real God. The real God is perfect. He is without sin. He is holy. And the only way to come before Him is to be perfect and holy. And one sin is enough to separate us. Maybe you say, I don't like that. Okay, I don't like gravity. I don't like gravity. I don't agree with gravity. So I step off this cliff. I don't believe in gravity. Not believing in something doesn't make it not true. So that is the nature of the God that exists. We need forgiveness. Good deeds do not cancel out bad deeds. If you murder somebody and then you're nice, they say, okay. It doesn't work that way. That's not justice. God is a just God. He cannot be manipulated. I'm glad that God is a God of justice. I believe when we're in heaven with God, we'll say, Amen. That's right. That's good. For me, emotionally, the fact that people go to hell, that hurts. I believe when we're in heaven, we will understand. And we'll say with the elders, God is right and God is good.
Are there two?
What? Gog and Magog?
Yeah.
Are there two? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter
37.
Gog and Magog, right?
Yes.
Sorry, Ezekiel 38.
Hizqiyal 38.
This is a particular kind of literature. I don't know how you translate it to Arabic.
Okay.
I don't know how you translate it to Arabic. But the word is called apocalyptic language. It's like, you don't need the word. You don't need the word.
Yeah.
There are different kinds of literature in the Bible. There is historical material. It says that David went over there. The interpretation of it is this. David went over there, okay? There's poetic literature filled with metaphors and image. And many things are not literal. There's another kind of literature. It's like Ezekiel. It's like Revelation. And these are visions. In that kind of literature, everything is symbolic. Unless there's a reason to take it literal. In the Gospels, everything is literal. Unless you have a reason for it to be symbolic. But in this kind of literature, everything is symbolic unless there's a reason to take it literal. Gog and Magog, one is the person, the other one is the organization. It's anyone who goes after God's people. If you read Ezekiel 38, God's people are living in towns without walls and no protection. Gog, the leader, and Magog, the group that he leads, they're coming after God's people. Defenseless. And God deals with Gog and Magog. So Gog and Magog are any force that sets itself against God's people. Maybe it's Islam. Maybe that's Gog and Magog. The same imagery is found in Revelation. I believe it's chapter 18. Okay.
معليش عندي سؤال شوي غريب وغبي. أنا بحياتي دائما غلط.
Throughout my life I was always wrong.
خلصت الحياة هي مثال مشان.
He's just saying an example. And then my life ended.
خلصت الحياة وجا وقت الحساب.
And then God is judging me now.
رحت على الجنة.
I went to heaven.
بعدين.
Then what?
I went to what?
Hell.
Okay.
Then what? What's that?
Would
I
be always in
hell? Be burning?
My answer to that is, I don't know. All the language describing hell, it seems to describe it as eternal. In fact, I have as much reason to think heaven is eternal as I have to believe that hell is eternal. Some people believe that it says the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. Some people say they go to hell and they're tormented and then God has them cease to exist. They say, but the smoke, symbolically, the smoke of their torment rises forever. They may be right, I don't believe that's the right interpretation. But does it really matter? I mean, do we really need to understand heaven and hell completely? The only thing that matters is this. God said, no mind has conceived of what God has in store for us. I want to be in heaven. I don't want to be in hell. That's all that we really need to know. There are different speculations about the nature of hell. I don't think it's worth a debate. And we could disagree and it doesn't really matter. I believe that it's eternal. But what is eternity? Some people say eternity is like an infinite number of years. That's using human thinking. Because God exists outside of time. So what does it mean when it says that we will be eternal? I really don't know. I know I want to be in heaven though.
In Isaiah 45:7,
yes,
says God created evil. What does that mean?
Let me read Isaiah 45.
Yes, 6 and 7.
Verse 6 and 7. It says this.
I am God created
evil. Let me see. I'm the Lord, there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. It doesn't say I create good and evil.
Verse 7?
Yeah. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord,
create disaster, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, God creates disaster. That's true. God causes, He disciplines those He loves. He sends those who reject Him to hell. Everything God created is good. God does not create evil. But disaster is not evil. When a parent spanks their child,
in translation, in Arabic, it says evil.
Well, okay, let's talk about what it says in Hebrew.
Some English translations it says evil, others say calamity.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's a matter of interpretation. God created a universe within which evil happens.
Allah khalaq kun wa fi shar.
You could defend the argument that God creates evil. Because God created the universe within which evil can happen. But we can't interpret the Bible in a way that contradicts something else in the Bible. So, I don't interpret it that way.
What's your reply with regards to reincarnation?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Two questions. Number one, are you asking me what I believe about reincarnation or what the Bible says? All right. Let's read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews 9, verse 27.
You want me to read it?
Sure. So the Bible says, we die And then we face judgment. So if people think differently, they're wrong. Unless, of course, the Bible is wrong. But the Bible is inspired. Now, God is neither male nor female, obviously. And Jesus has qualities that we would call male qualities. And Jesus has qualities we call female qualities. When you read in 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, I treated you as a mother. And he says, and I treated you as a father. So God does not have genitals, you know. But Jesus was human. So there's two choices. Now we could flip a coin. But I'm joking. You don't flip a coin. But in the Jewish culture, if Jesus had been a woman, then he would not have had a voice. Jesus comes into the synagogue. He opens the scroll of Isaiah. And he reads it. He says, this is fulfilled in front of your eyes today. So, for practical reasons, the Messiah had to be male. But that doesn't tell us anything about God. Now you could say, well, why did God make male and female? I think it's about love. It's all about love. Love explains everything. Yes, time's up. Yeah.
ناس مستعدين يدرسوا معهم الكتاب المقدس راجع الشخص اللي جابك او اللي عزمك